Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Give you a moment to get there. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. Hear ye then the word of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for thy holy word. We do pray you bless it to our understanding by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to truly hear, to heed, and to walk according to your word and will. Father, we do ask and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting, one theologian was reading and speaks of the old science experiment. And actually, I've read this experiment many, many times. And I never, just so you know, I never did this experiment, okay? I'm just telling you, I am very familiar with it. I was a big biology major and all these kind of things. Now, one theologian speaks about the old experiment in class for children, probably older children, because some get scared by those things, usually teens or young teens and all that. In this experiment, the teacher would place a frog in a pot of water, okay, on the stove. The water was cool enough for the frog to stay there and enjoy it, okay? Don't try this at home. Gradually, the water temperature was raised little by little. The frog never tried to jump out of the pot. The temperature change was so gradual that the frog never even noticed that it was getting hotter and hotter and boiling. Eventually, the water did boil, and the frog still remained unmoved. And if not removed, the frog would stay there and boil to death. So, nah, I'm sure they took him out, just so you know. The heat was raised up in small increments, and the frog couldn't tell the difference until it would be too late. How does this relate? Well, we see the same things in our homes and in our families today. The values that we can all remember were slowly, slowly changed, so gradually and almost imperceptibly in our nation that no one noticed until it was too late. The changes in values, the changes in standards were so gradual until the families were negatively impacted and our whole society began to crumble. Now we see the results of all that today, of children who were never disciplined, children who were never instructed in the Word of God, children who were never encouraged to embrace Christ and faith. And what happens? They grow up with no respect for their parents, no respect for anyone in authority, no knowledge of God and Christ, no fear of the Lord, and they become rebels in the streets, killing and being killed, even today, experimenting with things that will kill them, and disrespecting the police. Many are filled with anger at their parents and blame them for coddling them or blame them for punishing them too severely and unjustly. Sometimes their anger may be justified since many grow up in homes where there is no faith, there's no love between their parents, with divorces ripping up their families where they don't feel like they are being loved. No longer are children being reared in the discipline and nurture of the Lord, and they are not being taken to church to hear it. And when they do, they get an hour, and that's it. And the rest of the worldly time they have is all spent anything contrary to the Word of God. So they're not hearing at home, and they see very little actual faith in their parents. And so they have none either. They don't have any faith. Parents have failed to share their faith in Christ to their children. They say, well, I let them grow up, and they'll just pick what they want to believe. Congratulations, you made atheists. Okay? They no longer believe you. So how are we to respond when this happens? It's time then to hear the word of the Lord. Okay, time to heed the word of God. Time to obey the word of God. We must reach our families today. We must do so for Christ. We must rear them in the gospel. Let them hear of Christ from your own lips. Let them hear of Christ when you leave the church on the way home. Children ask mom and dad, what did he mean by that? Parents ask him, well, little Johnny, what did you think about? Did you have any questions about that? Whatever that might be, let them hear it from your own lips. And so we consider this morning the duties of children and their parents under these two headings. First of all, the call to the children. And secondly, the call to the parents. And we must pray for our families here at Antioch, our families wherever they may be. Pray for their souls. Pray for their salvation, for their conversions. Pray for their very lives. Pray for them. And don't stop until you die. Pray for them. So let's consider our very first heading here this morning. And this comes from verses 1 through 3. The call to the children. Now in these verses, children are issued two commands. To obey and to honor their parents. And the reason for this, this is right. The purpose for this, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Okay, and I'll go ahead and read through the entirety of it as we go along here. But we first consider the exhortation or command given to the children. Now you notice here that Paul expects those children to be present when this epistle is read and taught. That's important, okay? They're there present when they're in the worship service, and that's very important. These children are included in God's covenant. They are the child of at least one believing parent. And so they are children of the covenant, God's covenant, and so Jesus does love them. So you can sing the song all you like, and I like to hear it. If Paul saw children being led out of the service at the moment of the sermon or the message, he'd probably fall out the window again. He would be just appalled that such a thing would take place. Some churches, you will see the kids taken home right after the Sunday school. After all, they're too young to hear the sermon. Well, no, they're not. Some of them are very bright. Okay, but here, Paul has a word specifically directed to the children of these Ephesians, as well as to every congregation, including ours. So kids, this part was written specifically for you. So we do need to listen up and receive the Lord's instruction, as the parents will a bit later, okay? But let me read the entirety of the passage once again. The first three verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. All right, so the first command, of course, is right there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now remember, Paul has already addressed husbands and wives regarding their roles in marriage, but now Paul addresses the children and their parents and the duties in the family. And then he will address slaves and masters, which includes employees and employers as well. But he exhorts the children. It is a Greek word here, techna. Okay, this particular word means a child. It doesn't mean an infant. It means a child. So it can be a child of any age, not just littlest ones. It can include teens, tweens, young adults, unmarried children who remain under their father's authority and apply to all of them. One scholar said this, these children are still being trained by their parents, but are old enough to know that it's the right thing to do and their relationship to the Lord. Okay, so to these children, they are in a worship service, and Paul commands them, obey your parents in the Lord. Now I know that, of course, your sinful nature is there, and I understand that, and then often they'll say, well, you know, I really don't want to obey mom and dad, or I don't want to obey him, I don't want to obey her. Nevertheless, the Lord still commands it. Okay, it's not whether anyone deserves it, but rather it is commanded by God. Okay, if you will honor the Lord and heed his commandments, and this includes obeying your parents and the Lord. Okay, let's look at the word obey here. This word obey that we have in the text is stronger than the word submission. Okay, much stronger. This word means an absolute obedience. That's what it refers to. It refers to a listening and attentiveness to respond to the words of their parents. All right, so parents, don't be too harsh on them, all right? But now is the command. Is this command to obey simply to make mom and dad happy? Well, it does probably make them happy, okay? But no, it's not just to make them happy, because if we desire that, sure, but you're commanded to obey your parents in the Lord. Now, the attitude you need to have is this. I should obey my parents because the Lord tells me to. God commands me to. In other words, this is an act of obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an act of obedience to the Lord to do so. You obey your parents because you are really obeying Christ. And you do so for the glory of God. You do it for Jesus Christ. Okay, yes, you do. Now you say, my parents don't deserve my obedience. And you might feel that way, okay? But Christ does, okay? Christ does deserve your obedience. You are to obey him. He calls you to obey your parents, and you're to do so for his glory. You do so all the days of your life for the glory of God. Now, what is the purpose of this obedience? Well, he tells us there, because for this is right. The Lord says this is right, so it is right. Very, very simply, it is good, it is just, it is righteous. Obey mom and dad with respect, yes, but do so for the glory of God and Christ. You better show them respect, or the rod of discipline may come upon you one way or the other. So do obey your mom and dad, and of course, you'll probably see a lot less of that. But the second command we see is issued to the children. Look at verse 2 and 3 again. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now remember, you're obeying the Lord and all of his commandments, including this one. Now John MacArthur said this, the right attitude behind the right act of obedience is honor, which means to value highly, to hold in the highest regard and respect. The idea is respect and reverence and preciousness. That's what is behind all that. So it's an expression of your love for mom and dad and for the Lord. Okay, it really is all this. So it's an expression of your love, mom and dad and the Lord. Parents are to be obeyed and honored. So don't talk back to them. Don't moan. Don't groan. Don't whine. Don't all that. But do so as unto the Lord and do so for the Lord. Honor your parents. This is, of course, the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments given at Mount Sinai by the Lord to Moses and to his covenant people. Now, as you notice, there is a promise attached. And it says that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, the idea, of course, is that of blessing. The idea is of blessing. For the Jews, the promise would refer to their staying in the promised land. But Paul uses it in reference to the earth. It refers to the quality and quantity of life, okay? And again, one scholar said this, the believer who honors his parents can know that his lifetime will be the full measure God intends. Yeah, the length of life, the full measure of what God intends, rather than cut short, like those of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. And so God knows the length of the days that he has for you. So we are to heed his word. We are to obey his commands, which will include your parents who do love you. And it says God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. And that's very important that we understand that. The children need to have the proper respect for their parents. And that is their duty, to do so as unto the Lord. We are to obey them in the Lord, okay? Not meaning those things that would be wicked and sinful and vile, but doing those things that are right and good and just. And leading here to our second heading in verse 4, here we see the call to the parents. We already got the children. We already got the children, but here we need to kind of beat on the other drum a little bit for the kids' sake. Verse 4, the call to the parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. You may have wrath, that's fine. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So as children are called to obey and to honor their parents, which is good, they need instruction in the Lord. They need instruction in the Word. But don't abuse the privilege that God has given to you as parents. While these words in verse 4 would apply to mothers and fathers, it applies to both parents. The fathers are especially singled out or pointed out here. Back in the New Testament days, back in early New Testament days, in both Greek and Jewish cultures, the father was responsible for educating and disciplining their children. I can't say the word. Today, though, it seems most of that is being done by the mothers. Okay, most of that's done by a mom. But the responsibility for ensuring this falls to the fathers, if they're there, right? Can he delegate some duties? Yes, he can delegate some duties, but he's responsible for the failure or success of that instruction and discipline. In other words, dads, it falls on you to make sure they're being reared in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, right? It falls on you. Why? Because you're the covenant head of the home. Say, well, I'm the head of the house. Yes, and you're responsible. Yes, you are. You hold headship. You hold authority over your family, so you are responsible. If fathers are too busy to do this, as one person said, then they are too busy. If they're too busy to do this, They're too busy. Free up the needed time and take charge of your duties. Now, recognizing it is your privilege and duty, let's get back to the text we read. Do not provoke your children to anger or to wrath. Now, this is considered the negative aspect of the command. We'll get to the positive. Okay, in those days, many families were in tatters. They were really in shambles with very little expression of mutual love. It was rough days to live in, especially for, you know, women and children. By Roman law, scary, right? By Roman law, the father had life and death power of authority over the slaves, but also their own families. Wow, yeah. During this time, fathers under Roman law had death and life power over their own families. He could freely throw them out of the house if he wanted to, sell them into slavery if he wanted to, or kill them if he had the notion. So yeah, and Paul, he's addressing this and saying, no, this is not quite right. One commentator, and regarding 1st BC, Hilarious, not meaning laughter here, okay, but his name was Hilarious, he said to his wife, Alice, spelled A-L-I-S in English, Hilarious said to his wife, Alice, heartiest greetings, this is a true story, by the way, from 1 BC, heartiest greetings, note that we are still in Alexandria. Don't worry if, when all others return, I remain in Alexandria. I beg and beseech you to take care of a little child as soon as we get wages. I will send them to you. If you have another child, if it is a boy, let it live. If a girl, expose it. Meaning they take it out to the woods somewhere and leave the baby to die. Okay? Expose it. Rough days to live in, for sure. Okay? And by the way, in New Testament days, a lot of times Christians will go out and hunt for those little children. And they take them home and rear them as their own. But we are not to be as the ungodly are in this world. We're not to provoke your children to anger, to wrath. Meaning, don't embitter them against yourselves or stir them up to anger. Don't do those kind of things that might grow a root of bitterness within them towards you. And certainly don't lay it on the other one either. Okay? How are we often guilty of such provocation? All right, well, actually, I originally had a whole lot, but I knew for your sakes I had to shorten that some, so I would do that. But how are we often guilty of provoking our children? Well, A.T. Lincoln said this. He said, we are forbidden to use excessive, severe discipline, unreasonable, harsh demands. So first of all, discipline is one thing. Beating your kids, that is not discipline. Okay, so there's a difference. One is corrective, the other one is purely punitive. And sometimes the father or the mother, you can tell in their face, it gets so full of anger that they really need to go step in the room and cool off and then go and deal with their children properly to do so. But yeah, we're not to use excessive, severe discipline. We're not to use unreasonable, harsh demands. Okay, we are not to abuse them with authority or arbitrariness or unfairness. Not to nag them to death and condemn them to death. You're not to subject a child to humiliation. And we see that a lot nowadays. They try to embarrass them and humiliate them to death. Even grown parents on their adult children will try to, you know, manipulate them and really trash them to their faces. And all kinds of gross insensitivity to a child's need and sensibilities. We're not to do these things. Okay, we are to care and to love them. Love one another. Okay, not to put that root of bitterness in your hearts or they'll remember you. So fathers and mothers, be careful of the things that you say to your children. Be careful you get angry. You let something slip. Apologize for it. I still remember. I probably shouldn't even share this. I still remember. I was a teenager, and my wife knows about it. I remember. I forgave him. You know, I did forgive him, but I still remember. It's just like vivid, and your kids will remember that vividly. Okay, if you ever get so angry and you say something to them that you should never have said in your life, and yes, you can be forgiven, but man, it's hard to forget something like that. You have to apologize. You have to try to make it right, you know. And yes, my dad did apologize and all that kind of stuff, and he tries it. But yeah, it's kind of rough. Now, they will remember those things that you say to them. They sure will. Be very careful what you say, okay? You don't want it to come back up on you in some manner or the other. So we are not to leave our child to the elements, right? Obviously, we're not to really expose them in any way, and some kind of way. We do live in tough times for sure, but we are not to be like the ungodly of the world. So don't embitter them or stir them up to anger. All such things will destroy the heart and the mind of a child. Don't break your kids with your words, and don't break them with anything else either. Don't break their spirit. Don't break their hearts. Okay, because if you do, the question is, do you want to die alone? Okay, do you want to die alone? Because that's how it happens. Happens a lot nowadays. Rather, on the positive side of the command here to the fathers, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, right? So the man who hates his child doesn't discipline his child. He hates him, right? He spares the rod because he doesn't care anymore. The discipline refers to essentially the systematic training of children. The systematic training of children here in the Lord, all right? Like the spiritual disciplines of the Word of God, we learn to walk in faith. And so fathers are to continually train up their children. So, yes, it does involve correction from wrongdoing. Yes, it does. Harder to do in Europe, but do so for the correction and not as a means to tear them down and break them, okay? Because they will forget. You don't hope that they'll forget why, but they will remember. So rear them in the Lord. Don't raise them. We don't raise children, by the way. I use the word there. We don't raise children. You raise cattle. You raise chickens. You raise turkeys. You rear children. That's what we do. We rear children. We make a distinction. They're not little animals. I'm not saying how bad they may be behaving, but they're not little animals. But do train them, and of course, we want to rear them in the knowledge of the Lord. Don't forget instruction. They need to learn from you, especially the fathers. We care for them, train them. Don't forget the instruction. It refers to verbal correction as well. They need correction. Sometimes they need to be told, don't stick your finger in the light socket. It's going to hurt you. Might kill you. Are you ready to go before the Lord right now? So be very careful. Verbal correction is necessary. It includes exhortations. It includes warnings. It includes rebukes. It includes all of that, such as what I just said, that those things can be very dangerous. It is a warning, and it is an instruction. But ultimately, all such discipline and instruction should have Christ as its goal. Fathers and mothers, God has given you children. You rear them for the Lord. You love them. You care for them. You take care of them. You train them up in the knowledge of the Lord, and do so to the glory of God, because the fathers are responsible. They are ultimately responsible, and we are to lead them to Christ for their salvation of their little souls or larger souls, depending on how old they are. We are to do so for the glory of God. So be careful and don't abuse those little children ever. Never abuse those children one way or the other. But care for them and love them and nurture them. Do that which is pleasing in the sight of Almighty God. After all, we do live coram Deo. We live every single day, every single moment, every second. We live before the very eyes of God. And we must never forget that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for thy holy word. And Lord, I do pray for the children. And Father, I do pray that you'd help them as they really struggle and strive, Lord, as they know they're growing and it's time to release a little bit. But it's hard for the parents to know how to do that. And Lord, we do pray, grant a special peace among them, Lord, and be with the kids as they try to understand that mom and dad don't hate them. They're not trying to, discipline them in the wrong way, but for their good. Lord, that they might glorify you in all their days, Lord. But Father, be with them and bless them, Lord. Help them as they grow, that they might grow into fine young men and women for Christ, O Lord. We pray for their salvation even now, Father. Turn the hearts as only you can. But Lord, we don't forget the fathers and the mothers, Lord, as they continue to minister, Lord, day by day by day. And Father, that they might remember the words of kindness as well, to share with their children, to build them up and not tear down. Lord, to encourage them and not discourage. And Father, that even that relationship will be solid and a very strong bond of faith between them, Lord, as they are in Christ. And Father, I do thank you for your loving kindnesses for the families here in Antioch. And Father, for the many godly men and women that we've had all so many years here at Antioch, Father, some who have gone on before you even now, Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for their faith, Lord, their faithfulness. Sometimes maybe a bit too rough in those days, Lord, but we thank you for their loving kindness. And Father, that their ultimate goal was to care and concern and to share and instruct their children. Father, be with them, we pray, and grant us all wisdom toward our children, whether they're small or teens or are full grown. Give us wisdom, Lord, to reach them for Christ, Lord, in all things. Father, we ask and we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.